Adele Hayward. We're interviewing in the Walsh apartment number 5. And today we're going to talk about Sheldon Jackson and his experiences with that. My first question is, what time did you have to get up in the morning?
It was 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock?
Yeah.
And was it, how did they wake you up? Did somebody wake
you up?
Yeah,
they got a bell system, you know, that actually controls all your life there. Bell for dinner, bell for breakfast, bell for chapel, you know, so on and so on. And that's the way they did it. So they had a bell to wake you up. Everybody scrambles and they take showers and things like that, you know, and get ready, and then there comes a 5-minute warning bell for breakfast, a half hour after that. You got 5 minutes to get over the dining hall, and then the last bell for breakfast, you have to be there, and, you know, have the blessing, and they'll serve everything. And you got half hour, 45 minutes for that. And then another bell comes down and says, okay, now get ready for chapel. Chapel lasts for a half hour. And then after that, the bell comes on for the first class for the day. And usually that's around 9 o'clock. Something like that, I remember. And then we go to our first class. And so on through the day. I think we're done by 4 o'clock or so. Then the bell comes on. A lot of us participated in sports. I played basketball, so we had to write up our class and we'd have practice if you're involved in basketball. You're just involved in gym, where it was a requirement to be having gym class as part of the curriculum. You go up there and run laps, and we do push-ups and squats, and like duck walk, and then we run cross-country, 5-mile course, and come back. By that time, the gym class is over, it's about an hour. It's like you're doing now, an hour per class. Then, then come, we have supper, and it's usually over by 6:30. Start going to study hall by 7 o'clock till 9.
What time did you have to go to bed?
Lights off at 10. They shut all the lights off. And there's a bell for that, I forgot that.
Were you usually in bed by 10 or?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You get into a routine.
You
didn't stay up? Well, sometimes we did, you know. We were quiet about it. We talk among ourselves in the storm room. Be quiet about something. You don't want to disturb the neighbors because they're coming in. Be quiet. Be sleeping. But in general, you know, you have a long day and you just want to get to sleep.
How many people did they have in each room, like for your dorm?
Ooh, let's see. On the average, in one room, we had 4 bunks. Four.
You get top or bottom bunk?
That's something I like bottom bunk myself.
Do you have a favorite teacher over there?
Yes, Gladys Whitmore, my science teacher.
Do you have a least favorite teacher?
You know, I did, then it changed.
Yeah.
Because I found out she was really, she knew how to convey thoughts, ideas.
Okay.
Initially, it really wasn't that way. And her name was Isabel Peters.
And what did she teach?
She taught English.
Mm-hmm.
And after I got to know her, I found out she was a math major.
Oh.
Because she loved math, and it was because of that, and my love for math too, that we got together a lot, and actually out of class, you know, talking about things, but kind of giving you a perspective of what the math's going to do for you in later life, you know, in college or later on. It was kind of, was because of her that I took every math course that was available in high school. And all the sciences that were available. Because at that time I thought, well, you know, I don't have a choice as to where I'm going to find my niche in life yet, but I figure all this is pertinent.
Mm-hmm.
For, you know, all the math and all the sciences. So I grabbed everything. Then as I got close to the end of my high school career, I had a pretty good idea where what I was going to do. And I still wasn't nailed down yet, but I still wanted something in electronics.
Mm-hmm.
And that was radio. So I participated. There was not much available at the time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I would participate in things that had something to do with electronics. I really didn't get it heavily until I actually went to school in Los Angeles. And now you're living that kind of life. Quite a bit about it. That's where all that selection of all the high school subjects that I took came into play. And I finally got into this RCA Institute back in 62.
62?
Yeah, that's when I got back in school. See, I stayed out of high school. I mean, I didn't go any further than high school.
Mm-hmm.
And I graduated when I was 19 and didn't get back into school until 26. 25, 26. Dead spot there for education. I picked it up there. It was after I got married that I did that. I think I mentioned it in the class.
What were the classrooms like? Were they just
in high school?
Yeah, in high school.
In high school there were, these buildings were old.
Yeah.
And they were, that school went back many years, probably during my grandparents' time.
Mm-hmm.
And you've been there, you know, for 4 years, you're going to find out how far back it went and what kind of classes they had back then and, you know, during my grandparents' time. A lot of it was, you know, I mentioned, I think one time that, you know, one time it wasn't required that you have anything other than an eighth grader.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's the way it was, the school was back then.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I was there, it was high school. They had junior college. Now today, they have nothing but junior college there now, or college courses.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, and when you go there, that's all it is. No high school there anymore.
Were they set up for, like, how many students in a classroom? About?
My class was, when we first started out, we maybe had 50 in my class, original class. We lost some over the year. And by the time I graduated, we had probably like 20, 25.
Do you know how many students would fit in the classroom, like each one of your classes? Like, science had 5, 10, 20 people.
I would say 20.
20?
Yeah. We had facilities for 20. A lot of it, you know, we had 5 or 6 in the class, but if I had a physics class or a math class, there wouldn't be many more kids that wanted to take those kind of courses because it was scary.
Yeah.
It was mind-boggling to them, I guess. And so they gravitated toward the easier class, and they took typing and things like that. It didn't require a lot of mental gymnastics. And I took everything, because of this is the way my dad would do. I always think about that. Mm-hmm. What would dad have done in this situation? So there's a lot of my upbringing like that kind of influence on me on how I handle my life. And that was the start of it. Because I knew since I didn't have a selection of how I was going to be, I chose always what was considered back then difficult courses, you know, all math courses, mm-hmm. science courses, physics.
So, you mentioned basketball. Who is SJ's rival?
Marishka, Man City, Geno. Those are the main rivals. We have 3 schools in that vicinity, right in Sitka. Not Ichka, Sitka, and Sitka and SJ. For a while, SJ dominated, then it switched over to Mount Ichka during my latter half of the high school. It dropped to the bottom when I was 14. Lost our dominance, you know, after my junior year.
What was your favorite basketball year?
Probably my freshman year. That was
when you were the only freshman?
Huh?
When you were the only freshman?
No. In the basketball team? No, it was probably my, that wasn't really very eventful because I spent too much time on the bench. it was probably my junior year. And one of those guys that I was on the freshman team with. See, when we were freshmen, we used to beat the seniors and juniors all the time.
Yeah.
We dominated. What do you call it? Intramurals. As freshmen, but that freshman group, when we finally became juniors, they finally let them in and let us play. It seemed like that's the way it was. You know, junior, freshman, junior year, sophomore year, you didn't get to play that much. So all the upperclassmen moved out. So they had to use it. We did all right. It's just that we had all our games were very close to whoever we played. And we knew we lost the majority of the close ones. So it didn't look very good on the record either.
Mm-hmm. What were your school colors?
Blue and gold.
Blue and gold. Got to be in blue and gold too. Our rivals is known. Do you think there's a majority of boys or girls back then, or is it kind of even?
Yeah, it's kind of even, yeah, I would say it was even, yeah.
I I wrote this down earlier, but what years did you attend again?
1952 to 1956.
Do you have any cool stories about, or any stories that you want to tell me about Sheldon Jackson? Or, like, their food, or you could talk about food since Janice is always curious about food. Did your stomach take a while to get used to their food?
Because I was in missions, no.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
The modern culture foods I grew up on.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, we grew a lot of our own stuff in the Indian's house.
Mm-hmm.
Everything virtually. We had our own livestock.
Mm-hmm.
Butchered from that. Potatoes,
pilot bread.
Pilot bread.
Oh, what do you like having with pilot bread?
With
mm-hmm.
butter and a lot of preserves, jam and blueberry
mm-hmm.
and raspberry.
One of my friends, because I have pilot bread at my house, or my apartment over there, and she likes pilot bread as well. She has it with mayonnaise.
That's unusual.
Yeah, I was just like, I just looked at her and she's like, "You're not eating it." And I'm like, "Okay." She's like, "Don't give me that look until you try it."
Well, that brings up a little story too about my childhood, I guess, and my cousin.
Mm-hmm.
In grade school back home before I went to Ames. First cousin. His name was Larry. I used to go down to their house a lot, because his mother was my favorite aunt,
mm-hmm.
and she used to call me down all the time, and we'd eat together and things like that. And she always treated me like one of hers,
mm-hmm.
And Larry ate eggs with ketchup.
Mm-hmm.
And that was unheard of back then, but
mm-hmm.
now it's dominant.
Yeah.
I do it now.
Yeah. Another one of my friends with pilot bread.
Yeah.
They'll put frosting.
Oh, yeah.
Frosting on it, and then it's okay. I like it with butter and pepper.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, butter and pepper, pretty good.
I eat it a lot with fish bread or...
Mm-hmm. Usually when my mom's having soup, they'll have crackers and
mm-hmm.
crackers.
We do that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, another way that we, the way we ate
mm-hmm.
among our families back home, I didn't think of that when I discussing it in class was these spoons, and I'm going to mention that next time, I guess, but we were all given these soup spoons, or they made out of either wood or and you'll see them when we get to the museum, because
mm-hmm.
I had a feeling that they'd be built that way, the way we got them when we were kids.
Mm-hmm.
And they had little ornamental drawings on carvings on them and on
the handle.
They were either made out of red cedar or yellow cedar or goat's horn or deer horn.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever we had like boiled fish,
mm-hmm.
we got potatoes and rice, onions and celery in it. We called the name of it that when we had boiled. That's the only way I used to like humpies. The pinks.
Yeah.
But I don't like it any other way. But we use that in the boiled fish. And we call it kachumps.
Mm-hmm.
And after they cook it, they put it on the table. And everybody got their spoons and we all dipped from directly from the pot.
Mm-hmm.
And ate right from there.
Wow.
Everybody around the table.
Just one big pot and you guys sleep like that?
Yeah.
Did you guys make your own, or was it given to you?
It was passed on a lot of, you know, I never actually made the spoon myself, but they got passed down through the generation. So a lot of them were very, very old. Especially the making goat, because we didn't see goat very much.
Mm-hmm.
They may have come from Canada, you know,
mm-hmm.
and through trades and things like that. And it wasn't really, because we lived on islands, and the only type of horns like that were like from deer, but deer were plentiful on the islands. But, like I say, my people might have traded with those in the inland, you know, or mountain area. But we did a lot of training with them, as with a lot of, found out a lot of people up here,
mm-hmm.
like the Athabascan people.
Mm-hmm.
Since that tribe had come all the way up here. But when I went to one potlatch, one of the earliest potlatches I went to, there was a dance group of Indians.
Mm-hmm.
Southeast and up to three or four dancers. And that's where I found out that this was a, you know, custom that they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the older people talking about it, and when they say these people used to come up here a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of that, you know, like that, things like that, that were custom to carry on like that. You know there's going to be a lot of trading going on, right?
One of my great-grandfathers, he's from Notak,
mm-hmm.
further up north, and so his brother, I think he married somebody else in the Bethel region, and he would travel that far,
mm-hmm.
and then one of my dad told me that there's somebody that looks like my auntie down there. I'm really curious to see if she really does look like my aunt, because mm-hmm. you know, there's the trade and trading through Russia as well.
Because mm-hmm.
One of the ladies who worked in Kotzebue, she's from Russia, and she remembers going in a boat that takes 2 days
mm-hmm.
to come up, when they would sing and they would, you know, come up for
a
trade.
There's a story written by one of the Huntington boys from
mm-hmm.
Kalina.
Mm-hmm.
That relates an old story about how the Eskimos and the Athabascan
mm-hmm.
Indians traded among each other, and the process by which they contacted each other, it was kind of unique.
Uh-huh.
What happens if, say, the Athabascans wanted to trade with something
mm-hmm.
with the Eskimos that they had. Because, you know,
mm-hmm.
they kind of depended, even though they, mm-hmm. at times they were bitter enemies.
Yeah.
And so he said, well, the Athabascans, they had this kind of a hill
mm-hmm.
that they said they meet at.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of like a sacred place, I
mm-hmm.
guess, by both of them. And they take a spear, one with their stick or something,
mm-hmm.
and whoever got there first would put the stick up.
Mm-hmm.
And then they pull off, after they put their stick up, they pull off several miles away from that hill,
mm-hmm.
set up camp.
Mm-hmm.
And every once in a while, every day or maybe every other day, they'd go up and check to see if anybody else was there, because
mm-hmm.
when the Eskimos came down, they'd do the same thing, but they'd put another stick close to that other
mm-hmm.
stick that was put there by the other baskets.
And then
they check it every once in a while. Pretty soon they know now that, you know, that there's presence by both
mm-hmm.
sides. So they come up there one of the days and they stay there
mm-hmm.
until the other one came, and they do their training right there. That's how they communicated with each other. And this was written about in Sidney Huntington's book. You want to read it, you know, it's really interesting. There's a lot of things in there on Native culture that is related in that book I thought was very interesting. That's where I learned about this.
Cool. Since you're so busy during your high school years,
mm-hmm.
What was your favorite part of your day?
Gym practice.
Gym practice?
Yeah, you know, basketball practice. Mm.
Did a lot of people, I know they try to forbid it talking in your tongue. Can you talk a little bit in there?
When I was in high school, no, there was no restriction generation.
Okay.
But we, like I say, the experience that our parents, they had to go through that.
Mm-hmm.
There was restrictions during their time. They were in high school or in grade school. And it was from them we learned this.
Mm-hmm.
And so in that way, the restriction kind of carried on, was
mm-hmm.
passed on to us just by word of mouth
mm-hmm.
From our parents. And so we didn't use it. After Father Duncan died, you could tell the influence of his missionary ways started losing, fading in the background.
Mm-hmm.
And he was dead for a long time. My dad remembers him, but he was a little boy then. He was an old man, but Father Duncan was in his 80s. He started as a missionary in his 20s.
Wow.
He just got introduced to when he came over to British Columbia. Some association with the Indians, Tsimshian Indians. So he was there with them all, and he learned their ways. He learned the language, and like I say, while in school, he used English.
Did you guys have to do like a lot of scrimmages? Did you guys do like home games just to do fundraisers, so you guys could be sent?
There was always competitions going on to three schools. We had maybe, I would say on the average, we had a schedule. We had a competition, a season schedule. And we played so many games with my high school. We played so many games with Sitka High. We had a round robin going between the three schools. And it is from this schedule, the numbers of wins and losses can determine your position in the upcoming tournament that happens in the springtime, end of the year.
You guys didn't have anybody else come, you guys didn't play anybody from Wrangell?
Yeah, we did. We played Wrangell, played Petersburg, and Juneau, they'd come over. Juneau participated in a lot of the tournaments that we had there in Sitka.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, you know, we used to hold tournaments there in Sitka on the management side. They had the capacity to, handle the spectators and the big hangars they used for the gym. They could fact that you put three gyms in one hangar.
Wow.
And they did have two in there.
In Juneau?
That's
right. I saw their gym. It's big. What was your favorite place to go if you had to go for a basketball game? Traveling wise?
When we traveled, we went to a lot of different places.
Mm-hmm.
There was no favorite place to go. We just had, kind of an awesome thing to be able to say, I can travel. Played games. We went to Petersburg and Wrangell and Ketchikan, another big high school there. Ketchikan, we played them a lot. And it was before they got that big house. I knew there's a lot of the schools, the gyms weren't very big.
Mm-hmm.
Even the gym we had in SJ. The bleachers they had around the edges, you know, on the ends.
Mm-hmm.
They had the bucket right on the rail of the. So now there's kids, you know, they sit on the.
Uh-huh.
They were sitting next to them, and if they were on the opposite team that was shooting at this basket, banged their hand on top of the bucket and the backboard there. Shake the rail, try to make them miss on free throws and all like that. There was always a law in front. And they had the cheerleader competitions.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, that was amazing.
Did SJ ever bring back a
Not while I was there.
Oh.
No. But like I say, while I was a freshman on the team, there was a lot of, they had a lot of trophies and prior to that. There was, I remember we lost our three top guys to curfew abuses.
Oh.
And that was a no-no.
Mm-hmm.
He was disciplined by taking off the team quickly for the whole year. We lost these three guys the whole year and we never won anything that year. And it was expected that they were going to win all the season games and
mm-hmm.
the tournament. And everybody was mad about it because they said, how could we do this to stop them? Do this to the last one. But you know, they look back on it, you know, they had to stick by their decision. You know,
couldn't change
their mind. And they didn't.
Do you have any near curfew violations or?
You know, I didn't,
personally.
I didn't. Like I say, I was in the mission that taught you the boundaries of trouble. Things like that. So by the time I got to high school, I knew to keep my nose out of things that I don't follow and shouldn't do that are considered wrong socially.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't.
Was there?
Never got in trouble once.
Yeah.
In high school.
Yeah. Did, for people who had curfew violation after curfew violation, would they be sent home?
Second or third time that they would be sent home.
So they'd have a warning and
they would, you know, for punishment or discipline, they'd campus them. In other words, they couldn't go out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every weekend we were allowed to go downtown and shop and, you know,
mm-hmm.
And, you know, they take away those privileges as part of the punishment.
My parents were talking about that. Cause they had to come. They'd also have to take the ferry every weekend because they had so many points or something or something like that. My dad said he liked working for the fire department because it was off campus, so he was able to go back and forth.
Mm.
So that was his sly way of getting out.
Yeah, there's kind of a lot of funny things that have happened. We'd volunteer for stuff, you know, just to be with your girlfriend. You had to volunteer to go to church events, you know,
because
mm-hmm. that's the only place where they allow you to mix with.
Mm-hmm.
Girls and boys, and the girls would do the same thing. So if you're going with a girl, that's how we socialize.
Mm-hmm. Through church.
Yeah. Church events, you know.
Yeah.
And join the choir is another
mm-hmm.
one. I think that's the only reason I joined. Because we got to travel together too. You know, and the choir would travel
mm-hmm.
On the boats.
do you work at all through school? I mean, just during
just,
the summer?
Yeah, just during the summer.
To pay for it?
Yeah, that's commercial fishing with my dad. I was able to pay my own way through high school.
Were there students who were working during school? Was that?
There was some of that, you know. In fact, you know, we all had to have chores.
Mm-hmm.
Either in the dorm or we had to wash clothes, or we had a central laundry.
Mm-hmm.
And they had, you had to mark all your own clothes and
mm-hmm.
send them to laundry. So the kids ran the laundry,
mm-hmm.
the students did. Mainly the girls,
mm-hmm.
but then all the heavy work like the lifting and stuff
mm-hmm.
done by the boys.
What was your favorite, least favorite chore?
Was running the campus furnace center. If you were assigned that chore, there was times you had to work on it during the weekend. Most times, the other chores they allowed you to go downtown.
Mm-hmm.
We all had to set up a schedule so that furnace room was manned
mm-hmm.
24 hours a day,
mm-hmm.
and that meant some of your off time was going to have to.
Mm-hmm.
In
that
furnace?
Yeah,
yeah.
What was the easiest one?
Sweeping the hallways in the dorm.
Yeah.
Like that. Because they were short.
Mm-hmm. Was it just the hallways or did you have to go in the
stairways and usually the people living in the rooms get all the chores. It actually was part of your daily chores, no matter what other chore you had.
Mm-hmm.
You did have a you had fish on bed, you know, keep your clothes and meat order and things like that. You fix your bed every morning.
Mm-hmm. Was there any chores that you couldn't get out of, or?
Once they assigned you, no.
No?
No. You didn't really have a choice. It was maintenance, just chores. But they did rotate them.
Mm-hmm.
So you did one chore for a month, and then they changed it to another. It's one time or another where they've done all the different chores that were available. Through the course of the year, or maybe even twice. You know.
Mm-hmm. Homework-wise, was there a lot of stuff to do? A lot of reading? Or?
Yeah, there was a lot of that. At times, to me personally, there was times when it seemed like you were overloaded.
Mm-hmm.
So you had to put extra time other than normal. Start 2 hour study all that,
mm-hmm.
you know, and get all that was given to do all our homework and take someone to the dorm.
Mm-hmm.
Try to make up for the amount of time using study hall, but it didn't allow me to finish all the required homework.
So classes were set up same, like you'd see math in the morning, English in the afternoon,
yeah.
Or was it alternative where it was?
They seemed to be that way, there were specific times that math and science and stuff like that were held, and all the English and history, things like that, and then
mm-hmm. Like, because we have this class, every Tuesday and Thursday.
Yeah, they were formatted that way, you know.
Oh, so it was alternative, or it was like... math and English on this day and science and geography on the next day? Or
it was like that, yeah.
Yeah. So you didn't have to do the homework for that day till that night of before?
No.
There was it seemed like we had, as I recall, homework in every subject every day.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like it. And so you had some of that. Every day, every night, you know, you had to get something, you know. And you would program it in such a way that maybe the one that's going to happen, you know, studying there, say you were in study hall Wednesday, and you didn't have to turn in until Friday. And
mm-hmm.
you program your Thursday study hall for the Friday work.
Mm-hmm.
You had a schedule accordingly.
Yeah.
So you'd be done in time.
So did you do your homework on the weekends, or did you wait till Sunday, or did you get done on
Friday? I try to do them in the 2 hours that were given for study hall.
On Friday?
No, we had study hall every day.
Oh, wow.
Every night.
And it was every night from like?
Yeah, 7 till 9.
7 to 9. Weekend. That's pretty good.
So we try not to have any, you don't want to do it on weekend.
But, so you didn't have any classes on Saturday and Sunday, right?
No.
That was just like choir activities and stuff? That
yeah,
day,
there was
basketball
games. Choir practice.
Did you have free time on those days?
Yeah. In fact, one of the things that we had to do was we had a rest period on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And then related to the religious aspect
mm-hmm.
of it, I guess that you had a rest on Sunday, and then there was 1 hour that you had a rest. It was lights out, everybody had to be in bed, you know, for an hour on Sunday, on Sunday afternoon.
Wow. What were you doing? Were you sleeping then, or were you just...
No, they'd take, you know, the bell would come on, and says, okay, time to have a nap.
That's nice. I wish I'd have that every day. So, majority of the day was just...
It's chores. Filled, yeah.
It's filled.
Yeah, yes, yeah. The whole day was filled up with the lunch.
Of course. I ran out of questions, and thank you for telling me about SJ.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just end it, and thanks a lot.
You're welcome.